KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
And the first pitch on the way from Severino is a swing and a ball lifted in the air to left center, but this ball is well hit, and it is carrying, and it is gone. Jose Altuve hits one into the bullpen in left center field on the first pitch that he sees from Severino, and the Astros have taken an early lead. 1-2 and a breaking ball hammered deep right field. Josh Reddick has hit it a mile. Well back into the second deck in right field, and it is 2-0 Houston. And the 2-1 to Gurriel, down and in, and this one will skip off the glove of Sanchez to the backstop, and a run will score. In comes Altuve on the wild pitch. The other runners advance as well, and it's 3-0. Here's the 3-2, and a breaking ball hit high in the air to left field. Gardner setting up to make the catch. Brantley getting ready to tag. There's the catch. The throw will come into third. Another run will come into score on the sac fly, and it is 4-0 for the Astros. As Osuna looks in towards Maldonado. Now the right-hander sets, kicks, fires, and a swing and a ground ball to the left side, ranging to his left. Bregman, he's got it, and on the run, the throw dug out by Gurriel. LeMahieu retired, and the Astros win it. They get a couple of early home runs, a good performance from Gerrit Cole. Osuna picks up the save, and the Astros win game three by a score of 4-1, and now lead the series 2-1.
Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Well, pretty good game three for the Astros. No game four tonight. You're going to have to wait until tomorrow. We'll see how all that plays out. Let's do it. So what are the odds Wednesday on the Blitz?
Shall we begin?
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Bauer and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Bauer, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart. Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, send a message. Aaron's here. He'll respond if he likes it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitzed. At Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And if you want to watch us on Twitch, we're in studio today. Just go to the Twitch channel and click on ESPN 975. Or just go to ESPN975.com, click on Twitch. You're good to go. And it's a Wednesday. So when you call, text, tweet, Twitch, whatever you do, put odds on it. What are the odds we're going to have Tim Kurch in here in a few minutes? Well, scheduled to have Tim Kurch.
The odds that we're scheduled to have him are percent 1,000.
Right.
But you know how famous people are.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's always been pretty good in the past. What's going on, man?
Sports and stuff, man. Stros get it done. It really felt like this was a huge game for them because Gerrit Cole didn't pitch his best.
No.
Which is funny to say because he gave up
zero runs. But five walks is too many.
Gerrit Cole wasn't sharp yesterday, maybe is the best way to put it. He
had good stuff. He didn't have great location.
Yeah. I think. He was really good yesterday. He wasn't the dominant Gerrit Cole that we've seen the last couple months, the first couple times we've seen him in these playoffs. They still got it done.
Yeah.
So that's a missed opportunity for the Yankees. And I'll be honest, this again, you know, I always say it's to me, being a baseball manager is much easier than being a head football coach or an NBA head coach. But I don't understand dropping Torres to fifth in the lineup because at that first inning, you get two guys on. And who's the next two guys up? Two past their prime guys in Brett Gardner and Edwin Encarnacion who pop it up. Then Torres comes up fifth now instead of third. He doesn't see a pitch even near the plate. Like, because why would you? Why go at him now that you've got two cheap outs? Well, we've got plenty of time to talk about it. We'll get to someone who knows a lot more about it than I do, and Tim Kurchin. ESPN's Tim Kurchin joins us. How are you, Tim?
I'm well, fellas. How you doing?
We're doing okay. We were just discussing that it felt like that was maybe an opportunity with Gerrit Cole not having his best stuff yesterday for the Yankees to steal a game. And the fact that they didn't is just massive for the Astros because, you know, it's not very often you're going to get, you know, human, mortal Gerrit Cole. And the Yankees saw that guy last night and really weren't able to take advantage.
Yeah, it was that's a big loss for the Yankees because you're right. He wasn't at his best, but this just shows you how great he is, that when he's not even at his best, he still throws 7 scoreless innings. That was really impressive. And the Yankees just didn't get hits when they needed to. This happens all the time. This is a hard game to play. And they've scored 3 runs in their last 2 games. So that's going to have to change if the Yankees plan on going to the World Series. And this is the issue that we knew they would face at some point. Dominant starting pitching is rare these days. But the Astros have it, and the Yankees now have to figure it out. And they're down a game with 2 more games potentially in Houston.
Tim, when we see these teams playing, it feels like we've almost got throwbacks here, especially look at the Nationals with their starting pitchers and the way the Astros use their starting pitchers. With all the openers and bullpen games that we've seen, does it still come down to just who has the best starting pitchers?
You know, I think it's more than that. I'm really a little discouraged how we devalued the starting pitcher in today's game, and I think to the detriment of the game. I think we need to see more guys go out there like Gerrit Cole. Granted, he's different than everybody, but throw 111 pitches, 112 pitches, and, you know, be throwing 99 at that time. I think we've gone a little too much bullpen, and I think we're going to see a lot of bullpen in the rest of this series. The Yankees are definitely going to use a bullpen game, whether it's 5 or 6, we're not sure. And the Astros might end up doing something like that also. So this trend is not going away, but what I'd like to see, and we're seeing more of it, as you said, with the Nationals and the success of the Astros, depending on a horse and starting pitcher. We don't do that much anymore, and I think it's refreshing to see.
Well, I thought it was interesting in game 2 after the Yankees got a great start from Tanaka. And after game 2, with James Paxton on the mound, they pull him so early. You know, I mean, he'd given up 1 run, but this is a guy who hadn't lost a game since July. I thought it was very odd that they had such a short leash on that guy. And then the game goes to extra innings. You knew you weren't going to get a lot of length out of Severino in game 3. Did it feel odd to you that the Yankees were willing to go into their bullpen so early in game 2? To me, it changed the course of the series.
Yeah, but Paxton was not sharp, and he probably would have given up a bunch of runs in that game if they'd let him. At least that's what I saw. And when you do have a great bullpen, the tendency is, hey, let's use it at the first sign of trouble. The danger is, when you keep using the bullpen at the first sign of trouble, you're going to wear it out. Like so many teams have worn out their bullpen this season. And now with the rain out, if it does go 7 games, the Yankees are going to have to play 4 games in a row. And if they use their bullpen this much, it's possible by game 7 that bullpen's going to be really tired. Don't forget what happened to the Dodgers in the 2017 World Series. That bullpen was gassed by the end, and the Astros' bullpen was a little fresher, and that's one reason the Astros won and the Dodgers didn't.
Tim Kirchen is our guest. Tim's an integral part of ESPN's Baseball Tonight coverage, airing every game night at midnight on ESPN2 or ESPN News. He's been appearing on SportsCenter, Get Up, First Take throughout the postseason as a part of a rotating roster of analysts, providing cross-platform postseason coverage. ESPN Radio is broadcasting every MLB postseason game with Dan Shulman, Chris Singleton, Buster Olney, calling the ALCS. We appreciate the time with Tim Kirchen today. Tim, do you feel like since the rainout today, is that going to push all these starters back now to where they don't have to use that bullpen day now? So should we see a rematch of Greinke Tanaka game 1? Should we see that in game 4 tomorrow?
Yes, and this really benefits the Yankees, because Tanaka's going to pitch on full rest, and he's going to be better on full rest. And he was great in game 1. He's got a great October resume now. So this really helps the Yankees that they get an extra day. The danger, of course, is what we just said. By getting a rainout now and losing the travel day, that means they're going to have to play potentially 4 days in a row. It'll be interesting to see how well Greinke throws. He did not throw well in game 1, but he's a very good pitcher, and I fully expect him to be a whole lot better in game 4. And then it'll be interesting to see how the Astros use Justin Verlander. If they win, if they lose, what do? Do you wait till game six at home? Do you bring him in game five? Is all that set? I think there's still a lot of intrigue about the pitching for both teams.
Tim Kirchen, our guest. Tim, I wanted to ask you about the Nationals real quickly because we don't pay too much attention to them here until postseason. But this team finished 82-40. They just went right through the Cardinals. The pitching has been fantastic, and obviously, whoever wins this series is likely to be favored. But Nationals got to have a really good chance, don't they?
Yeah, they do. If they pitch anywhere close to the way they've pitched against the Cardinals, they can beat the Astros and they can beat the Yankees. That's how good the Nationals pitching is right now. They held the Cardinals to a .130 batting average. It's the lowest by any team in any seven-game series in the postseason ever. They gave up 16 hits and struck out 48 batters. So they had 3 strikeouts for every hit they gave up in the Cardinals series. That's how dominant that pitching was. And they're the first pitching staff ever to have 3 starters with more than 10 strikeouts in 3 consecutive postseason games. That's how dominant that staff is, and they got the magic going there. They got the destiny working. They got a pretty good middle of the order. So they are a very dangerous team, and I hope everyone in Houston and New York doesn't think, hey, we're playing the World Series now, because the Nationals are very, very good.
And they'll be rested while the other team will not be, assuming this goes 7. The Nationals will have their rotation set up. They're going to be in great shape while the Astros and the Yankees could be playing until Sunday with a Tuesday game 1 of the World Series. Tim, one of the things that's come up a lot during these playoffs is the discussion of pitch tipping and whether or not it's – I don't know much about the unwritten rules of baseball. To me, If a pitcher's tipping his pitches, that's on the pitcher. And if there's game film being used to find a pitcher making or having a tell, to me that's just good scouting. As long as you're not using technology on the field, it seems like everything's fair game. What are your takes on that? And do you think that's been happening, you know, more often in, you know, maybe this year or in recent years?
Well, I agree with you completely. It is not just good gamesmanship. It is responsibility of team at bat to figure out what the pitcher is doing. And if he's tipping his pitches, then they need to recognize it and they need to pass the word. I have no problem with that. Again, that's part of the game. And it's completely on the pitcher and the defensive team to make sure that this pitcher isn't doing something like that. Now, there are really very few secrets in baseball these days. Almost every team knows guys who are tipping and they can always figure it out. So I don't think it's that big of a deal, frankly, but I also don't think it's anything getting all upset about because, again, it's part of the game, and I believe it's a good part of the game that there's some really smart hitters out there and smart pitchers out there that can study this stuff, see it, identify it, and do something about it.
Tim, there's a lot of talk during the season about juiced baseballs, and we get to the postseason, and all of a sudden, is it just a matter of the pitching is just better because these are the best pitchers and the best teams, or do you think there is something different to the baseball than what we saw in the regular season? You had a couple of warning track balls last night that looked like they were gone.
Yeah, Carlos Correa hit a ball the other day in Houston, and I was certain that was a home run, and it didn't even hit the wall. So I think maybe something's going on, but I'm no expert on the inner workings of a baseball. It just seems a little odd to me that we set a record with, you know, 6,700 homers in the regular season, and the ball simply isn't traveling the same way in the postseason. I'm not a big conspiracy guy, but I know baseball is examining where the baseball is, the actual baseball is, and they're going to study it some more in the offseason because I think they recognize too many homers leads to too many strikeouts leads too much inaction, and I fully expect them to study this very carefully in the offseason.
All right, that's Tim Kirchen, ESPN baseball analyst, and one of the best in the business, in my opinion. Always a pleasure, Tim. Thanks for spending some time with us, and enjoy the rest of the series.
Okay, my pleasure. Thank you.
All right, that's Tim Kirchen. And Sean said AJ announcing the pitchers for game 4 and 5 early screwed up that recorded interview. It wasn't screwed up. It wasn't recorded.
No, I knew the Astros were going to throw Greinke. I didn't know I hadn't seen the announcement for the Yankees yet. So
yeah, but Greinke's 4 and I believe Verlander's 5.
Yeah,
is the plan. And
I didn't know if the Yankees were going with the same thing.
Yeah, I
tweeted
know.
About it earlier to me, I said the same thing.
And then you take some, depending on what happens here. Now you've got some options moving forward. If you're the Astros, if you can somehow win this game with Greinke and go up 3-1, I think you try to finish it with Verlander. But if you lose, you still can keep Cole on his regular time and go game 7 with him and just try to put your Keedy and whatever together in game 6. So, you know, I think it just depends on if you're down 3-2 or up 3-2, what you do. And it'll be interesting to see, but they're in a good spot, man. That was a, it was an important win to get yesterday. And
I mean, if they win all 3 games in New York,
that'd be pretty badass. Well, but I do think, well, it wouldn't be badass
if they win the first 2 in New York. I mean, that's
yeah,
crazy.
That would be great, but a couple people say it. Odds Astros have game 6 back in H-Town because I have tickets. Those people won't be happy. But I don't know. I think you'd trade the victory should that happen.
Of course you would.
But I think tomorrow's a key one because I think Greinke's going to have a good start at some point, a winning start. And if it's this one and you're up 3-1, then they've got to beat Verlander and Cole. Mm-hmm. And that being the case, it's going to be really tough. And you can bet on all that. And you know where you can bet. MyBookie.ag. And let me tell you, there's so many options here. You can bet, if you want to bet your Astros and Greinke tomorrow night, you can do it. You want to bet the Chiefs and Denver tomorrow night, you can do it. You got all your options. College football, it's all right there at your fingertips. And I've played on a lot of websites in the past. This is the only one I use now, mybookie.ag. And if you haven't gotten signed up yet, here's what you do. Use promo code radio, and they're going to double your first deposit. Promo code radio. And they've got some other options there for you if you want to do that. But just go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio, get signed up. You can get in. They've got contests. They've got all kinds of stuff going on. And I love playing on MyBookie. It's the only website I use now. And the best part is when I win, I get paid. Nobody pays out faster. It's a simple process. And I've never had any problems getting my money out of there. So go to mybookie.ag. Use promo code radio right now to get that exclusive double your money offer. MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. Play, win, get paid. MyBookie. Need to know your place. 'Cause it's about to get heavy.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know how I could explain that in a cooler and more doper fashion.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Happy What Are the Odds Wednesday. Man, it feels good to be back in a normal routine here, normal show. And the baseball won't affect us anymore. Basically, they're all 7:08 starts all the way through, even the World Series, so... That's good. Yeah, Friday 7:08. At least that's what.
Yeah, Friday 7 o'clock. Tomorrow's a 6 o'clock start.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my internet's wrong because
tomorrow's
Friday's
seven,
a 6 o'clock.
Friday 6.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was going to bother us anymore.
No, I've already texted RJ to figure out what we want to do on Friday.
Well, maybe he can join us with Brad and crew on Thursday.
That's one of the options I gave him. I also gave him an option for us to record earlier in the day on Friday.
Damn, I thought it says right here on the ALCS schedule, it says 7:08. That's, oh, well. Damn, I was all excited. I wasn't going to mess with our show anymore. Oh, well. But I actually, it was kind of fun going out and watching the game with a bunch of people yesterday. I wound up going to East End Hardware because they opened early for the game. And I wanted to go to Lucky's, but I was afraid Lucky's would be too packed because that's like a
It's like an Astros place.
Yeah, and but apparently it wasn't that bad, but it was a lot of fun. And right about 5 o'clock when everybody got off work, our nice little quiet like 2 or 3 groups watching the game turned into a full place. I mean, it was packed, but it was cool seeing people excited. So I don't do stuff like that much anymore, but that was fun.
Did you feel the same way about the Torres move, dropping him in the lineup?
I thought it was different.
Torres has been the best hitter that the Yankees have had in the postseason.
Yeah,
I don't understand. And Gardner, 154. Encarnacion, 083 in the playoffs. Why you take at-bats away from Torres is weird to me. And also, you know who that didn't do any favors for? Aaron Judge. Because when Aaron Judge is batting and Torres is behind him, you're pitching a lot different to Aaron Judge than when Brett Gardner's behind him. I mean, that's just the reality of it.
Well, I think they've figured out how to pitch Judge. It's just as long as you don't make a mistake. Because if you keep those sliders down, he's just so tall, it's hard for him to get the ball. And he sees it, and it looks like a strike, and he'll chase. And as long as you don't hang one of them, then you're going to have some success against him. But I thought I thought Cole did a really good job of that yesterday. It's like he just made sure if he made a mistake, he hung one to him and Judge didn't swing. And I'm just like, that's one where I just for a second, like, okay, thank you for not swinging at that one. Because that thing would have been deposited into the next century. But otherwise, I thought they had a real good strategy on him. I thought it was weird to have Torres down there. He has, and he seems to be seeing the ball really well.
The reality is LeMahieu, Judge, and Torres are the only guys hitting on this team. If you're not batting those guys, if you're not maximizing the amount of times that those guys bat in a game, I don't think you're doing yourselves any favors.
I think it's weird sometimes that guys overmanage.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I still think it's weird that the Astros, you know, they haven't been this series. Like, we've seen George Springer continue to struggle and continue to bat leadoff. So I'm not saying that you just have a firm strategy, you stick to it. I don't know that that's the right way either. But why you would take something that seemingly was working with having Torres bat third and drop him to fifth, I thought was odd. And I really do think it cost him in the first inning.
Yeah,
because they didn't have another opportunity, really, where they had, I mean, two on, no outs. That was a big opportunity. And who comes up to bat? Brett Gardner.
Yeah.
Who's been
one pitch,
nothing.
Too. And that was funny because he put two guys on, and he still only had like 14 or 15 pitches in the first inning because he had two guys get outs on one pitch.
Yeah. How about, if you get two guys up or two guys on like that, no outs, and Brett Gardner comes up, how about you bunt?
Yeah, and they mentioned that on the broadcast. I thought, and one of them said, yeah, I think it'd be a good idea. And the other's like, no, you don't do it because you get three chances to drive in the runs. And then he popped out. So, no, you didn't get three chances.
Well, either way, if Torres is hitting there instead of Gardner, I never would have said to bunt. But I also, I mean, it's nice to have your best guy coming up with two guys on base.
7-1-3.
And no outs instead of two outs. Because obviously the approach to him was different than it would have been with no outs.
Couple things from the Twitch line. Thoughts on Jordan being moved down to six. Hell, I'd probably move him down farther right now.
Boy, he's a mess.
Yeah.
And I mean, honestly, the Astros are kind of in the same boat with the exception of Altuve and Brantley. Is there anybody really raking?
No. No, there's not. Now,
I mean, Bregman's walked a lot, which has been nice because he's on base all the time.
Yeah.
But
Yuli's had some good at bats, but he's not really raking.
No.
But that, I think, is a good thing because sooner or later, and that's why, I think I leave Springer there because I know at some point Springer's going to have a game. At some point, I expect Alvarez to have a game, and that's, they're still not out there crushing the ball, and they're up 2-1. I mean, I think that's a really good sign because I do think at some point one of those guys is going to do something. It was funny because I put the positive jinx on Reddick yesterday because when he was up, I casually mentioned, has he even hit a foul ball in the postseason the last 3 years? And then he jacks it out of the yard. So I tried to put that same evil on Alvarez, and it didn't work.
Astros hitting above 200, above the Mendoza line in these playoffs. You want to give a guess as to how many there are?
Over 200?
Over 200.
Altuve's over 200.
Altuve's over 200. Altuve's at 417.
Brantley, but I bet it's kind of close because
Brantley's at 308.
Okay. Bregman was at 296 at one point.
Bregman's hitting 143 in these playoffs.
Wow.
Martin Maldonado is hitting 250.
Does that count? Because he's only played two games.
Well, then I don't know if you want to count Josh Reddick either because he's also hitting 250.
Well, we'll count him.
Everybody else is sub 250 or sub 200.
Yeah, that's not going to last. Obviously, you're going to struggle against good pitchers. You're not going to all go out there and hit 300, but they're not going to keep hitting 200.
Boy. Yeah. Springer, 083. Yuli, 091. Chirinos 125, Tucker 125, Bregman 143, Correa 167.
See, I think Yuli's had some good at bats, though. Even in the game the other night, he drove the ball a couple of times, and then he got the sack fly yesterday. I could see him being the first one to turn it around.
Diaz Alvarez combining for a 0.0.
You're talking about just this series?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you meant the whole postseason. That's why.
Because
Bregman had a pretty good...
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, because this says Houston Astros postseason stats, but Alvarez has had a hit.
Yeah, and he actually was... He didn't really drive the ball, but he was hitting over 250 in the first series. So was Bregman.
I wonder if that's just this series.
Yeah, I think they've confused you.
Yeah. All right.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Everywhere I go, catch me on the block like a Mutombo. 750 Lambo in the Utah snow.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Happy What Are the Odds Wednesday.
What are the odds I was wrong about my stats? Oh,
100%, 1,000.
Yeah, that's pulled up the wrong.
Because you're asking me this stuff, and I'm like, wait a minute, because Yuli had a, you know.
There are six guys over 200.
Okay, see that? That
including Yuli, including Alvarez.
That changes everything.
Yeah, sorry, not Josh Reddick. You add in the whole postseason, he's back down there. So Altuve, 375. Maldonado, 333. Bregman, 292.
Nine at bats. Let's clarify him, though.
Yeah.
Nine at bats. That's...
Bregman, 292. Brantley, 250. Yuli, 233. Yordan, 207. So...
Yeah, I think it's...
And Correa, 161, but... He won a game with one swing, so yeah, almost kind of forget about it.
That's the thing. You kind of, in Reddick 143, it's like yesterday when Reddick was up, you're like, okay, you've already done your part, probably for the series, but certainly for the game. You can go ahead and make another out.
Between Bregman, Alvarez, Correa, and Springer, 45 strikeouts in 8 games.
Springer hitting 121.
Is that good?
No, that is below average, AJ.
It's not good.
Yeah, so, but I think at some point, remember, yeah, and again, I would just go back to the World Series when everybody said, move Springer down, and then he wound up winning the MVP of the series. So I think he's a streaky guy. He always has been. He'll get it going. And I think Alvarez is kind of the same way. And if you get those two guys going, they can win a game for you. And if you can just win this Greinke start, I'm going to feel real good about your chances.
The Astros have walked 25 times in the postseason. They've struck out 79 times. And if you take away Alex Bregman's 8 walks, the rest of the Astros have walked 17 times
in the postseason. And that's a little different because this is not a team that struck out during the regular season.
It's not. But when we talk about why is their offense struggling... Hey, yeah, they're not playing against the Mariners and the Angels anymore. So that's part of it. But they're striking out a lot more. I mean, they're not going up there just making contact, and it's showing.
Cody said, "How amazing was Springer's base running on that one play? He either baits him into losing the run or only getting one out. Yeah, it that was a really good play to get the runners to second and third, and that got you a run. Maybe it got you two runs because of the wild pitch and then the sack fly." But that was really well done. And with runs being at such a premium, I thought that was a terrific play.
Did you see this? The MLB Players Association had their they announced their finalists for their award winners. And your 2019 Players' Choice Award AL Outstanding Pitcher finalists are Justin Verlander, Gerrit Cole, and Lucas Giolito. To which Lucas Giolito quote tweeted, Yeah, I got this in the bag. He said, but seriously, this is a huge honor. I'm humbled to be in this conversation. Now back to work for next season. But yeah, it's unfortunate when you're the third best pitcher in the American League and you're not even close. I mean, he was really good this year.
Yeah.
And not even close to those two guys.
Zach asks, what are the odds Jason Garrett gets fired before Jared Jones dies? Jerry's going to live forever. I hate to break it to you, because that guy can put it away. You guys just think I can drink. I mean, 20 years ago, I was out with him at an event drinking, and that dude
name drop
just slams it. I think I've told that story before. He's like boom, 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 and I'm trying to keep up, and then I'm like, okay, I'm not going to try to keep up because
did you get you some glory hole?
I did not. But if I'd have kept trying to keep up with him, I probably, God knows what would have happened. But yeah, he's a robot, man. That guy is going to live forever. So squeeze in a call. Todd. Go, Todd.
Hey, how's it going? Like the show.
Hey, thanks, man. Sports.
So I just want to add a couple things about y'all talking about the statistics and Yordan and Yuli and all this. Yordan's looked really bad this series. I mean, he strikes out a lot. He's always going to strike out a lot. But he was hitting .316 in the first series, not a lot of power. But, I mean, he was doing all right. I think it's just a ridiculous amount of pitching changes that he's facing. It's just really kind of thrown him for a loop. I think he'd benefit from moving down a little further. But I think he'll be okay. I mean, it only takes one swing with that guy, and all of a sudden the game's different. And then with Yuli, I don't love the exit velocity stats. I think sometimes he gets a little too much hype. But he's leading our team in exit velocity. And if you looked at game two, he went 0-for-5, but he had 4 lineouts, just ridiculous bad luck. So they're not hitting great, but there's reasons to be encouraged. I'm not overly concerned. We'll see how it goes. And Altuve's a machine. He's going to do what he does. So, it doesn't look great on paper, but, I wouldn't be too upset. And anyways, I'll hang up. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, Altuve again. I mean, just carrying this team offensively.
I love that little roid freak.
Dude, he's the best. Yeah. And I've been, I've seen it come and go with these guys. Like, Bregman obviously is on a really good 2-year run. I still think to this day, the best player on the Astros is Jose Altuve. And for whatever reason, well, the best position player on the Astros is Jose Altuve. For whatever reason, I mean, he hit sub 300 this year, so he pretty much sucks. He hit 298, by the way.
You know what? It's easy for people to forget because he had the injury last year, and that really limited him. He was not the same after the injury, and it took him a while this year to get going, but the second half of the season, he looked a lot like the old Jose Altuve. And in the playoffs, he's looked like Jose Altuve. He's a steady, reliable player, and you can count on him, and he's always going to come up with a big hit. He's fantastic. It's easy to get lost in the Bregman MVP talk and the boy look at Alvarez when he came up, and gosh, if George Springer had not gotten hurt, the numbers he'd have had. It's so easy to get caught up in all that and forget the fact that this little dude is still probably your best hitter.
Yeah, and I mean he keeps coming again and again, coming through when it really matters. And going back to the year, I mean, he hit over 310, 5-6 years in a row.
Yeah.
He was in the 340s, 330.
Won an MVP. I mean, yeah. And TRS, better second baseman, Altuve or Biggio. It's not close in my opinion.
I don't even think it's a discussion. Jose Altuve, to me, he doesn't have the longevity yet. But by the time his career's over, he has 3 more years like this, he's the best position player in Astros history.
I would agree. I think the only way it becomes a discussion again is if, like, the next 5 years he hits .250.
I don't see that happening.
I don't either. I don't want to say there's no way because,
The lowest he's ever hit in his career is .276. That was his rookie year. I mean, and that was on a team where he was the only good player on the team. Yeah. I mean,
they had nothing.
There was nothing there. This guy,
one of these days,
always,
it'd be fun to go back.
Undervalued.
It'd be fun to go back and look at the lineup that was around him.
Oh,
it's
gross. It's gross.
It is. It's a bunch of guys who didn't even belong in AAA. A couple things. the Casey asked, do you like going with Verlander game five and not waiting to see what happens in game four before announcing the starter? Yeah, I think you want him on his regular days.
Yeah.
And that way, I think after game five is when you make the decisions about what you do in six and seven. And I think it depends on if you're down 3-2 or if you're up 3-2 or if you're, you know, it may be over then. I don't know. But I think it's, I like it. I like Verlander on his regular rest because I kind of feel like if you can steal Greinke's game, then you have a chance to clinch it with Verlander right there. And then now you can set things up for the Nationals.
Because that way, and also you avoid doing that bullpen game.
Right.
Which is a game I don't think the Astros want to really play.
They'll be certainly at a disadvantage to the Yankees in that case.
Yeah.
Although I guess it depends on how much, if Tanaka can't do what he did in game one, if he's only going four innings.
I don't think they have an option. I mean, unless he just implodes like Dakota Hudson did last night or Fulton Nevich did in the wild card game. They've got to get length out of him because they got no length out of Paxton. They got no length out of Severino. By the way, the Astros, like I said on the show yesterday, work the count on Severino. Make him work a lot.
Yeah.
I think he was up 30-something pitches through two innings.
Yeah, they did a very good job the first few innings of doing that.
Dude, that was huge, I think, because you got to that bullpen early again. Yeah. And, you know, you get to the sixth, seventh inning with the starter in there. Boy, that's a huge advantage. And the Yankees have been unable to do that the last two games. The Astros have.
I kind of feel pretty good, though, about them having a much better game against Tanaka this time. I have nothing to base it on other than now they've seen him, and he's been through the lineup a few times. But I do think that they're going to have a better – now, I don't know if it's going to be enough because I don't know what Greinke's going to do. But I just have a good feeling about it. And Casey asks, what are the odds a break for the Nats cools him down and benefits the ALCS winner? I think it depends on how – your starting pitchers get lined up there.
Yeah. Because what we do know is the Nationals are going to pick Matt Scherzer's going to pitch game one. Strasburg's going to pitch game two. Like, they're set up exactly how they want to be. Their bullpen's going to be fully rested. Do you worry about them cooling off? Maybe, but I'd rather be in their situation than have to play four games in a row, have one day off, and then play game one of the World Series. If it goes seven.
I think if it goes five or six, I'd almost rather be the team that went five or six. If I can line up my pitching the same way and guys are closer to their normal days off, because that's something that...
But if it goes seven, it's a massive disadvantage for the AL team.
Absolutely. But I do think these long breaks, especially for pitchers, that's not ideal. And we saw it with Greinke. Greinke didn't pitch for 11 days before he pitched in the Rays series. And then he was, you know, he's off cycle again in this series. For some guys, it's better for them to be able to, because they're used to playing every day, and they're used to pitching every 5 days. So I do think it can be a disadvantage, but man, if this goes seven, the Nationals are going to be in great shape at the start of the series.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about Triangle Energy. Shopping for electricity rates, it's not always fun. We know that. It could be painful, in fact. But Triangle, they've tried to make it easy on you. They are a born and raised in Texas company that provides simple fixed rates. Simple fixed rates. But that means you're going to pay the same rate no matter how much or how little electricity you use. There's no hidden fees. You can lock in your rate for 12, 24, 36 months, so there's no rate hikes. You lock it in now. It's an easy, fast sign-up process. There's no gimmicks, no surprises on your bill. In fact, you'll receive a weekly usage update, so you already have an estimate for what your energy usage is going to be before your bill even hits the mail. The rates you see, that's the rate you pay with Tri-Eagle. And that rate's great already, but they're offering our listeners an even greater rate. Use promo code ESPN when you sign up. You get yourself a little discount. What are you waiting for? It's an easy decision. You're going to feel great about it. 877-93-EAGLE or TriEagleEnergy.com. That's TriEagleEnergy.com. Promo code ESPN. PUCT license number 10064. We could be legends after all.
Is the Blitz.
Oh, that sounds great.
On ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz, 713-780-ESPN. Hey, if you get a chance, check out sportsmap.com today. Tons of content. including my column on how we should retire the phrase, Houston, you have a problem, which apparently there's people out there who disagree, who think that's clever.
People still like that, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So I highly recommend you read
the
article.
Pass for me.
Huh?
Pass for me. I'm done with it.
That's a hard no. Yeah, I've basically...
Or at least let's give it some time off.
Even that would be fine. You know, because you know what what brought it back was that damn Apollo 13 movie. And it's like I said in the article, if we're going to steal stuff from the 60s, why not? We all live in a yellow submarine.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be better. But, yeah, just please go check it out. And there's a bunch of other great stuff. A bunch of Astros video. AJ and I did some videos that are up. And, I mean, there's just so much great content that your life is not complete unless you go. Somebody says, I have confidence in Greinke tomorrow night. I don't know why, but I'm feeling pretty good about it. He's got the breakthrough, right? I think he's finally going to be pitching on 4 days rest for the first time since the regular season. So if you're going to get a good effort out of him, I think this is the game. And somebody else brought a pretty good point.
But this is the one game where the Yankees have the advantage in pitching, in my mind.
Oh, definitely.
And not that I think Greinke's still good. I think I'm not as mad about Greinke as a lot of other Astros fans are.
He wasn't awful in game one. He kept you in the game.
But I just think Tanaka's better. But I don't know that you. I mean, Greinke's one of those guys you could absolutely get a one run, no run game out of.
And I also think getting back to the Tanaka thing, it was a quick turnaround in game one for the Astros, coming off the Tampa series. Had to go five games. Maybe they celebrated a little too much. They were pretty flat in that game, so I could see them doing better this year. Oh, Robert just sent me an email. Here's a Greinke's career postseason history.
Mm-hmm.
3-6, 458, 1.148 whip. That's in 13 games and 76 innings pitched.
All right.
Which is
Zach Kershaw.
Which is basically, he gave me Greinke and Kershaw,
yeah.
And it's very similar.
Kershaw, well, those guys were on the same team for a lot of years, too.
But Kershaw's pitched more games. And, yeah, it's Bob Clements, who I used to work with. The Chronicle sent it to me. 9-11, 4.43, 1.105 whip in 32 games and 158.1 innings pitched. So, you just put that evil on Greinke. Let's squeeze in a call real quick. John, go.
Hey, got a question.
Sports to you.
Question about Tucker.
Okay.
What are the odds that he'll be an Astro next year? I just do not. The guy is horrible. I don't know why he keeps coming up, especially with Mariznick playing. Why do they keep putting him in?
Because he's a top tier prospect. He's shown a lot of promise over the years. I mean, I don't think that they've been so protective of him for no good reason. I just think that. They believe in him. They've got him under control for a long time. They like the idea of that. So they're going to try to get something out of him. I mean, he may end up being the next Brett Wallace or Jonathan Singleton, but he's going to get his chances, certainly.
Yeah, and it's not like rotating those guys at the bottom of the order has made much of a difference.
Yeah.
Reddick finally hit a home run yesterday, but Mariznick hadn't done anything. And Reddick hasn't done anything.
The big mistake is not having Miles Straw out there.
Well, I'm telling you. I saw a lot of opportunities to where Miles Straw pinch running would have been a good thing to try to steal a run, but they don't listen to us on this.
And steal a taco. Although Altuve stole a taco last night, so it all worked out.
There you go. 832, I have no idea what you're saying here because it's the exact thing we just said. It says, WTF are you talking about Greinke? He gave up three hits and we couldn't hit. Yes, he's looked like bleep in the regular season, but his last outing was on point. Did I not just say that exact same thing? Did I not just say?
That was exactly our point.
It's exactly what I said. So that's WTF what I'm talking about. What are you listening to? My goodness. You know, we missed the dumbs yesterday on Tuesday. Are we supposed to get them now?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's exactly what I said. Exactly. And he wasn't... He didn't pitch like bleep in the regular season. I thought he pitched well.
He did.
He was pretty. Was he Cole or Verlander? No.
No.
And that's the thing. You guys can't expect him to be those two. Nobody's those two except the two guys for the Nationals. I really would love to see that.
I would.
Would that not be just a great old school?
Yeah, I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah, and you know, I kind of feel the same way about Scherzer and Strasburg as I did about Verlander. It's like, man, it'd be great for those guys to win one. I'll definitely be rooting for him if the Yankees win.
Oh, yeah.
A couple things from Twitter. Let's see. Foster asks, what are the odds Bryce Harper has regrets now that the Nationals are in the World Series? Bryce Harper is probably sitting in his $10 million swimming pool.
He's wiping his ass with those regrets.
Yeah, yeah. And he's going to, I mean, he's going to be set for the next couple centuries.
Yeah, he'll be all right. And don't cry any tears for old Bryce.
Yeah, I don't think anybody feels too sorry for him.
Sorry? What are you, a Canadian?
No, again? No.
Nobody's feeling too sorry for him.
Stop.
He's such a loser.
Lamont says, I know it's early. The Astros Twitter will roast me, but does Alvarez look like he may be more equipped for the Bagwell-Biggio Astros in this squad? Give him time. I mean, the guy's a rookie.
I will say
this. In his first postseason appearance.
Can I give you unpopular opinion for a minute?
Sure. I like unpopular opinions.
I don't think that what we saw out of Yordan Alvarez this season, I don't think that's what Yordan's going to be all the time. I don't think Yordan is like the Jim Thome or something like that. I mean, I think he's good, but I think that he's going to have ups and downs. I don't think he's going to just be an every year 40 home run guy. And I know because he burst out like this, that's kind of what everyone's assuming. I think we should slow down a little bit. There's still a lot of holes in that swing. I mean...
Well, and teams are getting a chance. And we're seeing, against good pitching, he's especially struggling.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
I think he's good. I
think if you're expecting him to hit 316 and drill 40 homers every year, you might be asking a lot.
I don't see that happening. From what I've watched of him, I don't see him profiling as that long-term.
I'm not going to go with this was his career year.
Oh, no, I don't think that either.
Because I think he will have some years like that, but I don't think it's going to be consistent year in, year out.
If he's going to hit for the kind of power he did this year, I don't think he's going to be a consistent 300 hitter.
I would agree with that. And Mario says, what about, you talk about the hitting, what about the other side? I feel the Yankees should start hitting also.
Oh, yeah, they're struggling.
They are struggling, and I think in part, I mean, it's kind of the... There's a lot of similar stuff. Some of the guys who were consistent all year for him and hit a lot all year are not hitting. And I think Stanton being out of that lineup, I mean, I know he wasn't there much during the season.
Yeah.
But there...
He would add definitely a different... And it's funny because Yankees fans don't seem to like that guy.
No,
like
because
they haven't
not,
embraced him.
And I heard John and Lance, who were in New York, talking about that today. And they had Chris Canty on. They mentioned that exact topic and that, you know, he's not one of their homegrown guys. He has to earn his pinstripes. And, you know, to me, it's kind of silly, but that's how their fans are.
Wasn't he one of the only guys who hit in game one?
Yeah, but they're going to forget about that. What did you, you know, oh, he's got a quad injury. He's just kind of a meow.
All right.
Hey, I'm just explaining what they talked about. I don't agree with it. I want to make that clear. But.
All right. I got to tell you about Allstate Siding and Windows. And as it gets a little bit cooler, you want to make sure your windows are energy efficient. You want to check your windows now for leaks before the winter chill sits in. And guys, for 48 years, Allstate Siding and Windows, they've been helping people save up to 40% on their electric bills by installing the best quality windows and siding. They do you right, man. And right now, in October, 25% knocked off your window package. No payment for 2 years. How about that? They are family-owned and operated for over 45 years. This is the kind of business that you want to work with. You're not working with some new straight-off-the-block guys who are, we got a long-term warranty, and then you go to call the number, and they're out of business. Yeah, you don't want to deal with that. Allstate, they're going to be there, man. And military, senior, first responder discounts. If you want the best rate, call Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows, 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. Or check them out online, allstatesidingandwindows.com.
Lil Max with me, he the wave. It's a big gap between us and the game. In the next life, I'm trying to stay paid. When I die, I put my money in a grave.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city.